His prayer. So I started a prayer by saying, God, thank you that I'm not a sinner. But we are wiser than that. And so we say things like, thank you, God, that I'm not like a sinner, like most people are sinners. For those who have been tempted to think that way, I invite you to remember the balloon principle of the law. It is very simple. Where do you stick a pin in a balloon to break it? The answer is one pin anywhere. Now, how does that apply to the law? It applies this way. How do you break the law? You break the law by one place anywhere. And while your issue may not be some of our contemporary issues, it may not be, for example, that you are tempted by homosexual literature, that you are tempted to commit adultery, that you are tempted to take your neighbor's goods, at least in a non-legal way. But of course, we need to consider this reality, that it is not merely what we do, but what we think, that sets us apart as condemned by God. The Apostle Paul had just such an attitude before his conversion. Paul called himself the least of the apostles because he had spent time as the chief prosecutor of the Church of God. Both men, the Pharisee and Paul, thought they could do no wrong. He thought God loved him because of his actions. The attitude of this Pharisee is in many ways much like the world, who thinks that one must do something for God so that God can do something for them. Sadly, this attitude has crept into the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ today as well. The most popular saying professed by those who think this way is, I've got to get right before God gets right with me. New variations of this saying find themselves in your vocabulary. Another variation on just such a theme is, let me get my life in order first, and then I will be better able to serve God. Then I will go back to church. Both statements, you see, show something that sinners must do before God does anything for them. Now, I invite you to listen most carefully to this next sentence, because oftentimes when I've heard my words quoted back to me, I've wondered where they've come from. Faith alone makes you righteous before God. Faith alone. But faith, dear friends, is never alone. Faith comes first, and works, or what some might call good works, follow. To get this inverted is to be apart from Christ. To think of works first, then faith, puts the cart before the horse, makes it all backwards. And if God's church on earth that professes to be his would know this and profess it, then the church would be a much safer place and a haven for sin, not sinners. God invites you today to be still and listen to what he has to say to you. He does this as he speaks to you through his word, so that you may rightly respond to what he has done for you. The Pharisee gets it wrong, and he puts his stuff right out front. Then he buries it even before mentioning his works by thanking God that he is not a sinner. His examples of those he thinks are sinners, and sometimes might we. And he points straight at the Pharisees then and the Pharisees now are quick to point out this reality. These are why, therefore, that this outsider, this tax collector, this publican of all people, understands what faith is. You can say this man has heard the word of God and it impacted him. The Holy Spirit has done his work and called this publican to faith. For only he whose faith is set in the word can say what this man says. The beginning of godliness is not in man, but comes from God himself. God must first let his word make flesh sound in your hearts, by which you learn to know and to believe him. And after you know who he is, then you learn how to fear, love, and trust him above all things, not self-taught, but again taught by the Holy Spirit through the word of God. And this, dear friends, leads to faith through that works which follow. The tax collector's good works begin in the humblest of ways, making this like a pass right over it, not even noticing. It begins with lowered eyes and the beating upon his breast. And then comes the cry of faith. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How dare he, a sinner, express that he is a sinner in the presence of the Holy God? He does because he trusts God's word that promises that God is merciful, not because you deserve it, for you haven't, but because he is what he is. Now this man is on the right road and is declared righteous, once through faith, before God and by works toward his neighbor. And the temple gives the God all the glory that is due him, and by faith repays him with praise. For his neighbor performs the duty of love by putting words into his mouth that God has taught him and teaches him and you and me how truly to pray. Thus he has learned that all debts are paid toward God and man. Faith urges this tax collector to do it without requiring anything from God as a reward for what he has done. We are all Pharisees. This is true. Still the Lord comes with his word and in his means of grace, and he changes hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. God teaches you to mourn your sin and your sinfulness when looking into the mirror of the law, and you see there that you do not love God and your neighbor as yourself. And then he points you to his only begotten Son as your substitute, who on the cross bore the sins of the world and your sins. He leads you to an open tomb where Jesus lays no more, for he is alive and has conquered death and the devil for you and for all. And he has done this that his children may rise from graves on the last day and join him on that final journey home. And in the meantime, he teaches you to pray. And I submit to you, dear friends, that the whole liturgy of the church runs the same things that you hear Christ teach in this story: humiliation and exaltation. You enter God's house and you confess your sins before God and before man. In the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven in the name of the triune God, which was given to you in your baptism when God splashed upon you his mercy and took away your sin. And as the liturgy unfolds, God teaches you how to thank him for his grace. You sing the angel's song, glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You listen to his word applied to your life in the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified. You bring the common supplications of the community before God and the general because